What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Let me talk to us about wisdom, which is... So today we're talking about wisdom. In the month of July, I think from the second or third week, we're going to be running two services. And the first service is going to be a one-hour service that is called Entrepreneurial Services. Praise God. And what we're doing there is we'll be teaching some very basic things. Life, business. Are you with me? So it's going to be in a course form. So don't miss it for anything. Are we together? Now, this month we began a series Excelling the Marketplaces, and I bring it to, this is one of the concluding parts of that series, and thank God. The Bible tells us in the book, maybe we should start there, Acts chapter 7. That's where we started the other day. So let's go to Acts chapter 7 quickly. Verse 7, Acts chapter 7. Let's read verse 9. Acts 7:9. Speaking concerning Joseph, the Bible says, and the patriarchs becoming envious, did what? Sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. Then look at the next verse. The next verse says, and delivered him out of all his troubles. Then did what? Gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. So, we said that there are two things we see in the life of Solomon, right? Of Joseph, that made him outstanding. Imagine a slave. How did a slave rise to become a governor of the nation which was at the time the world power? It's because of something God gave him. So, it will not be wrong if we say that if God gives you favor also and gives you wisdom, regardless of where you are right now, you can rise to the topmost in anything God wants you to do. If you believe that, say amen. So, we looked at the last week. So I said there are certain things that are key in the journey of life. One, you have to be very sure of God. You have to be assured of God's abiding presence. Despite the fact that they sold Joseph into slavery, the emotional trauma of your family selling you, then finding yourself in a strange land was not an excuse for God's word not to come to pass in his life. Because they sold him, but God was still with him. Are you with me? So, listen. Negative things happen in life. People lose their jobs. Companies close down. Things fold up. But you know the truth. If God is with you, you will rise again. There is no event in a man's life that is the end of that man's life. As a matter of fact, you can have jobs and have everything. If God is not with you, you are finished. So I have seen people who are broken in life. Maybe because a particular phase of their life has come to an end and they don't know what to do again. The first thing you must establish is God is with me. Thank God we have a great church here. It's a growing church. But let's say something happens and all of you decide to leave me. And I say, okay, I'm not going to work with the pastorate again. We don't like Pastor Armin. How many of you know that will not be the end of Christ Family Ministry? Because God is with me. Even if I'm sold, but I don't know who's going to sell me, but if I'm sold to a strange land, that's not going to be the end of my life. I've traveled a bit. And I have found myself in very tight places where I knew nobody. And God showed up for me. Some time ago, I was in South Africa. And I was robbed the night I arrived in South Africa. I was robbed that night of everything. money stolen. Let me speak in James language. Garments stolen. Products that I brought stolen. The only thing I had was my passport in the breast pocket of my suit. Imagine you come into a country with two boxes. You are robbed, and as you are checking into a hotel, that is all of you. Anything to check in, nothing. Everything was stolen. My laptop, everything was stolen. But it didn't matter. In that land, the people I know in South Africa are four. Are you with me? I call them. I know Ben Uloko. I know Aaron Ekele and his wife. And I know somebody in Aaron Ekele's church called Brian. I don't know. Let me speak like Paul. Apart from this, I know no other man. But I know God. So if God is with you, your life can never come to its end. Until everything he has said concerning you comes to pass. So never ever see yourself as a pity case, as a sorry case, and say this is the end of me. Then the Bible says God, God being with Joseph. See how he showed up. The Bible says he gave him favor and wisdom. Say, I have favor and wisdom. And we saw last Sunday, Jesus has become the favor of God to us. Having therefore been justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we have what? Peace with God. By whom we have access into this what? Into this grace wherein we stand. You know what scripture says? It says we stand in the place, you know, Living Bible says, we have access into this place of special what? Privilege. Praise the Lord. Did you get me? This place of what? Special privilege. You know, the most privileged person on earth is the new creation in Christ Jesus. That's a good place to have said amen for yourself. You know, because I'm a child of God, I expect people to treat me well. Because I'm a child of God, I expect people to tell me yes, where they are telling others no. I have been saying this for years. Anywhere they are giving people no answers, there is a yes answer waiting for me. So I say, what if they tell you no? It's because they don't know. So they will call me back again and tell me what? Yes. So I never accept any situation as defeat. I'm favored. And listen, when you believe you are favored, things will begin to work in your direction. Did you get that? So it's no coincidence Potiphar bought Joseph. It's no coincidence. There were many dungeons in Egypt. It's no coincidence that he was put in a dungeon that he will later get to meet the king's staff who would someday remember him. Am I talking to someone? And announce him to who? And announce him to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh will have a problem that he will one day get to solve. You see how it works? So favor is not just people smiling and shining their teeth for you. Favor is the presence and power of God orchestrating events in your favor. So listen, you might feel like you are in a dungeon phase of your life right now, but it doesn't mean you are not favored. That phase is necessary because that is where God has asked you to be so that you will be located for the next level. Did you get that? And you need favor so that people's hearts will do what? People's hearts will open to you. People's hearts will open to you. It is the favor of God that compels people to do their part in your life. So last Sunday we said, position yourself in a place where the favor of God can reach you. Today, we talk about wisdom. Now, let me say something about wisdom. Because sometimes when we talk about wisdom, people try to see it from a very spooky dimension. And I want to narrow it down. Wisdom is just ability to create solutions for existing problems. Wisdom is not the same thing as Proverbs. People can tell Proverbs, but not exactly be able to apply them. Wisdom is the rightful application of what? Knowledge. I was talking to somebody, and were talking yesterday, I think, at the reception. I said, look, you can give two people the same quantity of ingredients to make soup. Same thing. Same quantity of ingredients, the same fire, the same gas, the same kitchen. But when they cook that thing, I don't know if you can testify, they will taste different. They will come out differently. I don't know if you know Loud Voice. You know, Loud Voice, you know, put up a joke some months ago on Instagram, and he cracked me up. He said that, I don't know whether it's his fiancée or his wife, came to visit him, and he rushed to go and do something. By the time he came back, he wanted to make egusi soup, and the lady offered to help. That's how the lady, first of all, fried the leaves in the oil he was boiling. So, and then he turned everything. So by the time he came, she served him the egusi and vegetable soup, so to say. So, and the thing is just like he's eating cornflakes. But you know what I want to say? Everything is inside that soup. There's vegetable, there's leaf, everything is inside that soup. But you see, what I'm saying is, it's not just enough to have input. It's not just enough to have resources. It's not just enough to have information. Wisdom is what helps you to apply what at what time, at the right time, to bring out solutions. So sometimes someone doesn't even have as much resources as the other person. But if there's wisdom operating in that person's life, he'll be able to generate more solutions. So you are not disadvantaged because of what you do not have. Most times people are disadvantaged because of the fact that they don't know how to use what they have. That how to use comes from God. So you could come to church, you could read instructions, you could receive knowledge, take notes. Wisdom means when you leave church and you go outside and you are in a job situation or you are in your office, discernment will come, and then you will know how to apply that particular thing for that particular situation to produce what? To produce results. So let me say, you are not the first person to ever have a problem in life. Genesis chapter 1. Quickly. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Tell your neighbor, that's trouble. That's trouble. Like some of you are saying, everywhere around me is darkness. It's hard time. It says, and the Spirit of God was doing what? Hovering over the face of the waters. Did you get that? Did God have a problem? Was it fixed? The next verse 3. And God said, I'm finished. Do you know what I discovered in life? Why people never come out of their problem? They never come out because in their minds they are trapped. I don't even know how I got here, but let me say something. If in your mind you are trapped, it doesn't matter how many solutions are provided you will still be in your prison. See, the greatest gift you can give people in life is not money. The greatest gift you can give somebody in life is perspective. It's being able to free the mind to see solutions. In John chapter 6, Jesus did something that shocked me. He preached a message. The Bible says there were 5,000 people following him. He preached a message, and guess what? Over 4,600 people left. That's enough to kill somebody in ministry. Then the Bible says, he turned and looked at the others that were remaining. And ordinarily, I thought that Jesus will say, you know what Jesus said to them? Are you here? Are you not going? They looked at him and said, well, we don't understand what you are saying, but where can we go? With you are the words of life. That means there was no physical situation that could ever replace the image that Jesus carried on the inside. So one of the things that wisdom does is to give you a mindset. It gives you the mindset of winning. There is an app, there is a game that I play on my phone. I use it to relax. It's called Word Crossing. And it's just about forming words and, you know, generating words from a group of letters. You know, I've played it for over 2 years. Why I like it is because it gets my mind thinking. So I have to think of how to form words, how to generate something. And sometimes when I get to a new level, they will give me some sets of words. And guess the first thing I tell myself, there is no word like that inside. You can't get up to this number. Because sometimes they give you, it's usually no more than 7, 6, 7. And then sometimes you're expected to generate close to 9 words from those letters. And I'm looking at it like, don't deceive yourself. There's no. I know what I tell myself. If you couldn't generate up to 9, they wouldn't have given you. So what they want is your mind should work. I've noticed from experience that anytime I'm fatigued and I'm tired and I stop, I will look at it. I don't want to use the hint. Sometimes I will even exhaust the hint. Nothing will come out. I'll check and check and check and check. I will rearrange the words. I will frame the word. No word will come out. Nothing will come out. I've noticed that whenever I pause it, and leave it, maybe for an hour or two. The moment I come back, I open it. The moment I'm opening it, it's like the word will just pull out. That means, are you with me? It's not the physical eyes we use in seeing things. It is the mind we see with. What you cannot see does not mean it does not exist. So, wisdom is that, first of all, there is a faculty that is created in you that helps you to see what others cannot see. Is somebody getting anything this morning? Somebody will look at this and say, no, it can't work. There's no way out. The moment another person steps there, when wisdom begins to operate, the person begins to see what others do not see. Listen now. And the Bible says God gave Joseph wisdom. You get the picture. Joseph was able to see what others could not see. One of the things that puts you ahead in life is your ability to see what others cannot see. Say amen. So there are no chaotic situations. There are only closed minds. No situation that cannot turn around. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from where? The ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. Go back. I don't know whether, you know, some of us read scriptures in a hurry. The Bible says, folly. What is folly? Thank you. Where is it set? So you look at position and you ask yourself, how did this foolish person get there? He says, while the rich are what? Are set in lowly places and low positions to people of proven worth. Look at what it says. Continue. Okay, yeah, let's stay with the New Living Translation. Verse 7, quickly, please. I have even seen servants riding horseback. Why princes, like princes, and princes walking like what? Servants. Next. When you dig a well, you might fall in. Amen. When you demolish an old wall, you could be beaten by a snake. When you walk in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there is danger with each stroke of your what? Of your axe. Then look at what it says in verse 10. Using a dull axe requires great strength. So sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. Did you get that? It helps you succeed. So you know where the problem is most time? Why it looks as though I am better than this. I'm smarter than this. How come this person is there? It's not because you don't have what it takes. If you are quarrying a place and you don't have wisdom to put a helmet on your head, the stone from that quarry will break your head. It doesn't mean you are not necessarily doing the right thing. So it's not just enough to be involved in an activity. It's not just enough to be involved in some form of business. It's also important that you have wisdom that makes you sharp or gives you an edge. That's why you can't talk about sharpness without edge. So most times I discover for Christians, the problem we have is that finishing edge, that extra edge to put us on top. Let me bring it to everyday life. You see somebody who is not, you say he's not born again, he's not, but he knows how to organize his business, go to work on time. Hello? He knows how to staff. He knows how to keep his books in place. But here you are with the mighty Holy Ghost in you, walking in lowly places. Why? You don't know how to staff. You don't know simple things like accountability. Am I talking to someone? You don't give attention to detail. I sat down the other day and I said, they're planning the World Cup. You know, the World Cup is usually given 15-20 years ahead for an event of 30 days. But you are a believer, you don't see any need for planning. What you believe is that whether it's right or wrong, the Holy Spirit will cover it. You see, what you lack is not the Holy Ghost. What you lack is wisdom. That's why when wisdom operates in the life of a man, there's foresight, there's hindsight, there's insight. Did you get me? Foresight, hindsight, and then there's what? Insight. You're able to see things. You're able to look into things. You're able to see things ahead. So what does this say? If you have an axe, what's an axe? A tool for chopping down wood. You know what wisdom says? Wisdom says there's a way to go about doing the same thing a different way. How many of you follow me on Leadership Tuesday? Okay, good. Last week I shared something on Leadership Tuesday. If you truly follow me. What did we say? What did we say? One of the marks of a true leader or a good leader is that he doesn't change his purpose, vision, is fixated, but he's flexible to do what? To adopt without adapting. How many of you know there are two different things? You can adapt a thing without necessarily adopting that. You can adopt a thing without necessarily adapting to it. I can use the internet without necessarily being a crook. I can make money on the internet without being, praise God. Listen now, I can look at a company that is not a Christian company, that is even probably producing condom, and I can adopt their mode of operation without necessarily adapting to the product that they are generating. Did you get it? So wisdom makes you clinical. That's why when God gives a man a mind of gives a man wisdom, it alters the way his mind thinks. It's a gift from God. It's not a talent you learn in school. So listen now. You have Pastor Dio. I walk up to Pastor Dio and I say, Pastor Dio, take this axe. And I take them into a forest. And then I walk up to Nicole. I said, Nicole, take your axe. Now, you guys go into the field. Are you listening to me? And chop down trees. For each tree you chop down, I'm paying you 25,000 naira. So if you're able to chop down 10 trees, you have 250. So I mobilize you. Give you the axe, that I mobilize you with 50,000 naira. Pastor Dio says he's a man, walks into the way, into the forest, and begins to chop down the tree. Because he has a lot of strength, he brings it down. So Nicole is also chopping down the tree. By the time Pastor Dio is bringing down his third tree, Nicole is struggling with one. I don't know if you get me. He's struggling with one. Like, wow.
then she receives insight. What if I take this out of this 50,000 naira? Because she's still struggling with her first tree, but Pastor D already has close to 100K. He has chopped down two trees. So let me take out of this my 50K and go where? To town. So he's willing to pay the bike man some money or the cab driver. I don't know. It looks like she's wasting her money. She pays the cab guy, goes into town, then gets to this workshop. Then they file the ark. Then she comes back. It took him 2 days to go through that whole motion. Took her 3 days. Two, 3 days. By the time she comes, Pastor Joe probably has chopped down like 15 trees. However, you know, with her small frame, that's, you know, Nico. This Nico I'm talking about. It's not in your. Now, with her small, slender frame, eventually, who will bring down more trees? Then, anytime she notices the axe getting blunt, what will she do? She will take some money out again and go. So, notice, what's the difference? In fact, at a point in time, Pastor Dio's hands will develop blisters. He will now take that one. Once his hands develop blisters, he can't continue. He will take part of that money and spend it on treatment. I know, because he's so orthodox and he doesn't know how to adopt without adapting. If you tell him, take it to the machine and say, sharpen what? My great grandfather used to chop trees down like this. You know, when was I chopping? Then look at what he starts saying. Is my people from the village. See, when wisdom is not available to you, you try to miss. You see, we have a way of just covering everything up. It's the people from the village that are causing me blisters on my hand. It's not people from the village. You cannot be born again and villagers will be troubling you. Besides, they are in the village. They are behind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he does that. And then Nicole comes back smiling. At the point in time, Nicole now employs staff, gets more axes. Are you with me? Then buys a chainsaw. Then buys. No, she's not just chopping down the tree. She's not able to pay the man off, and they get into partnership. From partnership, she grows her own forest, raises her own trees. Employs Pastor Dio. Since he has strength, I mean, to cut, you know, so Pastor Dio is cutting. Then guess what Pastor Dio is saying? If not my people from the village, I know where I would have been. We start. I was not even introduced her to this, you know, but you know, when villagers pursue you, they will not rest till they find you. You see, it's wisdom. Time spent sharpening your axe is never a waste of time. It makes you more effective. So we'll round up next Sunday. That again. And I'll teach you how to sharpen this axe. How to be more effective in life. Because it's an ongoing thing that you have to do all the days.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.